walks among the seven golden lampstands says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. But yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amen. So we're continuing on what we've been talking about, and we'll go through this week. But again, the central tenet is God is interested in our hearts. More than it's about our mind, more than it's about our actions, right? God is interested in our hearts. And we have this incredible passage here in the book of Revelation, is this message to the church in Ephesus. And I taught on this a little while ago, so I don't have to go so in-depth, but I just want to make my points. So the angel of the church comes to the city, and usually angel could refer to messenger. It could also actually be applied to the pastor of the church in Ephesus or the apostolic leader that's governing the churches in Ephesus. Most likely there's only one church at this time. So he's the one who grips the seven stars, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands, and he says this. He says, I know your deeds, your toil, and perseverance. You cannot endure evil men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. You have perseverance, and you've endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. In that case right there, in those two verses, are seven accolades of this church. He says, I know your deeds, your toil, and your perseverance. You are a hard-working group of people. I mean, that's a great commendment from the Lord. You're a hard-working group of people. You labor and toil, and you persevere, and you put to the test those calls of those apostles. In other words, that you have keen discernment. Isn't this one of the greatest needs of the church today is discernment? It is so difficult for people to discern, even not necessarily from right and wrong, I think that's kind of easy, but to discern between good and best, which is a really, really tough one, right? We want God's best. We don't want to settle for what's good, but this is where a lot of people falter between the discernment between good and best. And he says here, that you see these people that call themselves apostles. In other words, you have keen discernment and you know good teaching in the sense that they were there and they heard and they realized, oh, you know what, this is not really good. And so they understood there were good teaching, they had good doctrine, they had a good grasp of scriptures, a good grasp of New Testament teaching and apostolic teaching. And he says, but you do that, the toil, perseverance, you cannot endure evil men. And so they were a holy group of people. So think about this, hardworking, holy, I mean, they were not compromising as a church. They were a holy, uncompromising group of people. They had keen discernment, and they had perseverance in the midst of persecution. Now, they're talking about perseverance here, not in the context of just working hard, but perseverance in the midst of persecution. So persecution is hitting the church, and you have incredible perseverance. And you've endured for my name's sake. In other words, that you put God as the priority, and because of that, you endure for his sake. And you've not grown weary. You did not become tired. You continued to do good. It wasn't something that you lacked any of these things. And so, I mean, you're talking about, in for many of us, seemingly a pretty perfect church. Can you imagine a church that's so right in doctrine? I mean, just understands apostolic teaching. People that are hardworking. They're serving God with all of their might. They are holy. I mean, there are a group of people that are just given over to God and to His holiness and to His principles and His statutes, all these things. And they are so discerning of the Lord and all these things. And even in the midst of persecution, they're persevering and they're going forward in this regard. You know, and then if you look at actually the history of the church, it brings this out even more so. Remember, it's quite an amazing thing when you think about the church of Ephesus. The founder of the church of Ephesus was Paul. I mean, 13 books, okay, under his name. The pastor of the church was a young man named Timothy, which was his son, spiritual son. Two books named after him in the Bible. The elder of this church was John, the beloved, right? He's got, what, 3, 4, 5 books under his name. That's most of the New Testament. One of the evangelists that came out of this church was a young man named Apollos, who was considered one of the greatest orators of his time. I mean, that's pretty amazing. If you're not Korean, you wouldn't understand this, but Kwanzaa-nim, which is a female elder, is a part of this church, is none other than Jesus' mother, Mary. You talk about all-star team of pastoral staff. I mean, you think about all-star team. I know our SP, pretty awesome staff. Not compared to this church staff, man. I mean, this is just amazing. And these guys had it all together. They had an incredible staff. They had incredible elders. They were persevering in the midst of persecution. They had incredible doctrine. They understood the times they were living in. They were holy. And not just even holy, they were uncompromising when it came to their holiness. And yet, look what it says in verse 4. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. In other words, going back to our supposition when we started, God is primarily interested in the heart. You can have the best doctrine. Remember I said he is interested in the mind too. Don't get me wrong, but that's not primary. These guys are so right in doctrine, so right in their teaching, in their actions, holiness, don't endure evil men, persevering. I mean, their actions were impeccable, but that's not primary. The primary is our hearts. It's always been the case. It's the major theme of the New Testament. God is interested in the heart. I have this against you. You have left your first love. So he says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you. Remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. How important is this for the Lord? He says here, now if you remember going through the book of Revelation, lampstand was kind of what we call apocalyptic literature. And lampstand, what it literally meant was the church. Whenever you see this, the church was where the light of God was to go forth. And so lampstand, almost all throughout the book of Revelation, refers to the church. And so Jesus says, this is so important to me. This is more important than right doctrine. This is more important to me than keen discernment. This is more important than persevering. This is more important than holiness. This is more important than the spirit of compromise. This is so important that if you don't get this right, if you don't get your heart right, if you don't get your heart singular, in other words, pure, guess what he says? I'm just going to remove you from the face of the earth. The church will no longer cease to exist. I mean, that is a pretty crazy word, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty astounding. And if you don't do that, if you don't get it right, if you don't repent, if you don't go back to that first love, and the first love, I know a lot of times we think first love is like puppy love. Do you guys remember your first love? I actually remember my first love. Her name was Donna Zavisa. I remember very well, right? Long time ago. I went and I bought her, this is how cheesy I was as a little kid. I was in fifth grade. I was in fifth grade and I bought, it used to be back in the days, it was called $1 million bar. And I think now it's called 100 grand. So inflation, you know, went down a little bit. And so, but it used to be called $1 million bar. And I wrapped a note around this $1 million bar. And I sent it to her. And I said, you're worth more than $1 million to me. you know, kind of thing. And she rejected me. And so, yeah, nothing happened. But I still remember that was my first crush, right? My first love. That's not what this is talking about, right? It's not talking about when you're a little kid and you're first in terms of numerical. He's talking about primary. He's saying God must come first. This is your first love. This is your most primary love, not some kind of sequential order, you know, in that way, or some kind of nostalgic. Going back to where God is number one, that idea of singular, the idea of pure. And he says, you need to go back to this, and you need to repent. You need to come back to where God, where the Lord is first in your life. And if you don't do that, if you don't repent and go back to that, he says, I'm just going to remove this seemingly perfect church. God is interested in our hearts. It's always been the case. And the moment that we put our focus and our eyes on other peripheral things, I mean, that's the key to this. A lot of these things, they matter. But it's not primary, right? It's not primary. And the key, friends, is if you fix yourself and you make that to be primary, I think all the other stuff, it all comes together. It all comes together. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's a promise of the Lord. When we are able to make God primary, when he is first in our life, everything comes into order, because that's how he ordered the universe in that way. Amen? So when we close our eyes, I don't want to go too in-depth because we just taught on this just you know, about a month or so ago, or 2 months ago. And again, as the focus this week from the message, let's make God primary. I'll ask the question, what is the condition of your heart today? What is the condition of your heart today? Your heart before the Lord. Your heart before your church. Your heart before your leaders. What is the condition of your heart? And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit wrestle with your heart. Lord, give me a pure heart. Purity in the sense of clean, but even more important, purity in the sense of singular. Let's pray today.
Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands. And give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast out our idols and give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Let's continue to give him our hearts personally. And let's pray for our church that we would give our hearts corporately. Personally, let us be single focused. But let's also intercede as a church that corporately, our corporate identity as a church would also be this singular focus of love. Let's pray together. Thank you. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's encouragement. Let's pray that God's heart will be extended to each one of them. They will trust Him, and God's healing word will come forward. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our community that is sick, but also that needs to meet Jesus. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal Himself to them. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our friends that have non-cancer related illnesses. Let's ask God's healing word to come over their bodies. Let's pray for our friends in need of work. Some of them actually have jobs and are praying for better ones, and some are out of work. And so let's lift them up. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley at Bloom. Pray for Pastor O, V2R, and for Pastor Tang in New Life Church, our contacts there. Let's ask the Lord to just bless them and just draw them closer and closer to Him. Pray for protection and wisdom as they minister in sometimes very high stress environments. Let's lift him up. And let's pray for the whole country as well. Pray for the board, pray for the members that they would just continue to grow in wisdom and their heart would be God's heart. And God would protect them, their families, and their work and things they put their hands to. Let's lift up. Let's pray for the men's and women's ministries, and let's pray for their monthly prayer gatherings, and that we'll really minister to the needs, individual needs of men and women. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really breathe on the leaders, encourage them, and the members to draw close. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray that God would continue to provide, that Holy Spirit would lead the church. Pray for a donor. This is just in response to a prophetic word that we got. Not that we are looking for someone to give us a lot of money, nothing like that, but just pray in God's purposes. And let's also pray, I think we are pretty soon to renegotiating our lease here. It's been almost 3 years, and so let's pray for favor with ChinaCam, that we get very favorable terms for us as a church. So let's lift up. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight, Causeway Bay Island, Taihang, Robin Hood, Elements, and Happy Valley. And let's pray Holy Spirit would just be leading sessions and everyone would give their heart to the Lord and to one another. And let's pray tonight. God, we thank you this morning. Father, we thank you again for the reminder, God, that you are interested in our hearts. And so help us to always, Lord, give you our very best, our single-mindedness, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd watch over us today as we continue to pray and seek your face. Lord, there's a lot of requests in our hearts, Lord. God, and Lord, your sons and daughters are coming to you this morning. Lord, I pray for your mercy to be extended to us, God. Thank you, Father. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.